In 1987, in Midland, Texas, Jessica McClure, an 18-month-old baby girl, fell into a well, one leg up and one leg down, wedged there, water underneath. The rescue crews had a very difficult time, several delays. They drilled a hole next to the well shaft and then went, when they reached her level, went into her to grab her. She was wedged in there so tight they couldn't pull her out. And the medical people there told the rescuer, pull hard. You may have to break her to save her. What a hard thing to say. But they cared so much about her. They were willing to hurt her to save her. God cares so much for us. He is willing to take us through hurt and trial in order to convince us we need to trust in Him. It isn't easy to hurt someone you love. But if you look at the result, God knows it is best. We look at a passage of Scripture this morning that teaches us about trials and faith. I'll read from verses 3 to 9 of 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this inheritance you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, in order that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This morning, what is the hardest trial in your life? The most difficult circumstance? The most severe pressure. Think about that. What is that? And we read here that we are being kept because trials are a fact of life. We all need the power of God to be kept through these trials. I think the most cruel hoax taking place in Christianity today is peddled by the people who proclaim prosperity theology. Rather, the Bible teaches the theology of adversity. Christians suffer trials, financially and physically and circumstantially. We need the power of God. Now, what is important about this whole life thing as a Christian? What is important to God? And what is important about you and me this morning? The important matter is faith. The faith that God gives us is vitally important to Him and to us. You know, one time I had a man come and ask me after a class, "Bill, how much faith does it take?" Sounds like a good question, but it isn't. It's the wrong question. It isn't how much, it's either or. Either you do or you don't. So faith is the great divider. There are two kinds of people on earth this morning: those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who do not. It's life or death. It's heaven or hell. And as we speak of faith, it's the matter of believing and trusting, which is vital and essential for every Christian. And this morning, from God's viewpoint, we are on display to the world, to the people around us, immediately in our family, to our neighborhood, to our church, and to the world. We are on exhibition to prove that the faith that God gives us is genuine. You take Job. Satan comes and says, "Well, Job only serves you because you've blessed him. Take away all his goodies and he'll curse you." God, in control of Satan, directs him to take away some of Job's blessings. And so that happens. And what is the trial here? The trial here is whether Job will turn from God and curse him, or whether he will trust him in spite of the loss of health and wealth and family. And one of the most amazing verses in all the Bible is when Job declares, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three young Hebrew slaves in the land of Babylon, would not bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar in the town square. This was reported to Nebuchadnezzar. He became furious, and those who would not bow down to his image were consigned to the fiery furnace. And when he learned about this from these three young Jewish boys, he had the furnace heated seven times. And he said to them, "If you will bow down to my image, you will not go in the furnace." And they said to him, "Our God is able to deliver us. And even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to you." What's on trial? Their faith. Now this morning, from verses 6 through 9, we have a biblical text. And in the bulletin, you have an insert, which is the outline for the message this morning. And the question is this: What do we learn about the test of our faith from this text? In the first place, we learn that the trials are a fact of life. God doesn't defend it or try to explain it, they're just here. You have been grieved by various trials. They are ordained. There is nothing that touches our life that does not come from God. Good, difficult trials. Now, these trials are a fact of life, and the trials are tests of faith. That's the issue. The issue with us this morning is, will we praise God, or will we deny God, or will we curse Him, or turn from Him? The trials also purify our faith. And Peter mentions gold, which is tried by fire to burn away that dross and come out as pure. Faith must be tested. And the apostle says, thank God that we have been counted worthy to suffer for Him. Then trials drive us to the Lord. We're such people that when things are going so well and we have such blessings, we neglect God, neglect the Bible, neglect the fellowship, neglect worship, neglect prayer. And what God wants us to do as believers is depend on Him. Trust in Him. Have faith in Him. That's the issue. Now, Peter uses the phrase that you have been grieved by various trials. And it's interesting, in a church family, we don't have the same circumstances or the same trials. Family A goes through a trial. Family B and C support family A. Family B goes through a trial, A and C, and so on. They're varied. Why? Because God is personally interested in us personally and suits the trial exactly for what we need individually. Now, another glorious thing about our trials is in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. Praise God for a little while. They're going to pass, and even if they last, it's only a lifetime. And a lifetime is very, very brief when you know that one day there'll never be another trial, tribulation, persecution, heartache, or sorrow, or conflict. It's just a little while. What do we learn about trials? They're a fact, they're a test, they purify, they drive us to the Lord. They're varied and they're temporary. Now, Peter states clearly the purpose of these trials, that in order that the genuineness of your faith. So now, what do we learn about faith from this text? Well, we learn that it's valuable. Verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith being much more, and there's that word, precious. It's not a word that men use very much, but women use it all the time, and it's a good word. but it just doesn't suit men a whole lot. We know of one lady that precious is about every other word. Everything is precious. It's a word that denotes value. Our faith is much more valuable than worldly possessions, than gold. And we learn that our faith is tested, sometimes going through the fire with severe trials, in order to prove that our faith is genuine and real. God has all of us on display for Himself, for us personally, because we come to doubts and questions and wonder what's going on, and sometimes we think of turning some other way. Our faith has proven genuine to those around us and to the world. Which means this: God will see us through. It's important to Him that our faith is genuine. And one of the reasons is because it comes from God. It's God-given faith. You have faith because God gave it to you. We learn also from this passage that our faith is enduring. It speaks about it, that the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is yet future at His return. And our faith will be genuine at that time because it's enduring. Next, we learn that our faith is triumphant, that though being tried, it's more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that means right now. How is it? Are we filled with praise and honor and glory to Jesus Christ this morning in the midst of this godless society, this world of crime and hostility and sin and immorality, and the tests that we go through personally? Are we filled with praise and honor and glory? That's what this is about. Now, some people might hear a message like this and say, I've come to see I don't have faith, because I don't respond this way. How can I have faith? Where do I get this faith? Ask God for it. It's the only source. Doesn't come from anywhere else. Doesn't come from the philosophers, the educators, the psychologists, or whoever. Doesn't come from me or you. It comes from God. It is the gift of God. Comes out of Him to us and for us. The evidence of that faith is praise, thanks, and glory to Jesus Christ. Will I trust Him today? No matter, though He slay me. Now, to look at this life of faith as we live here and we experience trials and pressures and heavy financial problems and health problems and conflict of relationship and trying to live in a ungodly business world of dishonesty and immorality, what do we do as I have a trial? Well, in a practical sense, first of all, we acknowledge that God is in it. You don't just try to hack this out on your own or conjure up the wisdom to meet the conflict. Acknowledge God's in this. God is here. And the trial is not because I have sinned or I have failed. The trial is ordained of Him to prove something, and we acknowledge Him and know that the issue is our faith. Trust Him. Praise Him. And you know what? It takes a miracle. You can't pull yourself up by the bootstraps and acknowledge God's sovereignty and know it's about faith and trust Him. It takes the God of miracles to bring the miracle of faith alive today to our hearts. And that faith explodes within us and covers our whole life. Now, the great thing also that God has given us is the matter of intercession, which means we pray with faith for others. One time, God threatened Moses. He was going to destroy the nation. Moses came before the Lord in intercession and says, "Take me, but save them." That's interceding. Christ intercedes for us this morning before the accusations of Satan in our own hearts. His prayer is for us. You and I can have be a powerful part of people around us by prayer. Perhaps the most important role of parents is prayer for children. The most important role of a husband is prayer for his wife. The most important role of a wife is prayer for a husband. The prayer of faith. What a privilege. What a glory this morning. That right now, here and now, our faith is on trial to prove that it's genuine and real and lasting. Take heart, friends. Rejoice. And give God glory and praise. May the Lord bless this passage to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank You for inspiring the Apostle Peter to write this truth out of his own experience of suffering and out of the experience of these people to whom he's writing who are being persecuted. And to us this morning, and cause us to know inwardly and spiritually and outward in practical ways that we are kept by the power of God to prove the genuineness of our faith. Bless it to our hearts, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.